Good afternoon. If you would like to go ahead and open your Bibles back up to the scripture that Robert read to us in Psalms 31. We'll be reading that again just here momentarily. Psalms 31. Thank you again, Robert, for reading that. In Psalms 31, starting in verse 1, it says, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, for a house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net they have laid privily for me. For thou art my strength. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth." Where do you go in times of trouble? Troubled times when life is not going the way we planned or even the way we'd want it to go. Many people today think that life should be easy. If we're living that godly life, if we're doing everything we should be doing as commanded in Scripture, then life just goes with no problems, right? But life is, in reality, is that there are problems. There are various trials of many types. And we are told in James 1 and verse 2 that we are to count it all joy because this testing of our faith is producing steadfastness so that we can be made perfect. We can be made complete, lacking nothing. When we think of it as in our physical or our mental health, we're told that when a person is in that life or death situation, seconds matter. In other words, calling the right person may make the difference between life and death. The psalmist cries out here without any shame, saying, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust." There was no doubt in the writer's mind that the one to turn to for help was the Lord. As Christians, how confident are we in God's help to save us? Do we truly understand that our life is in the hands of God? We are so confident in what the world has to offer these days, especially in times of emergency, that we often think of going to the Lord after we've exhausted every avenue of help. As a matter of fact, we often treat prayer as kind of that final lifeline and the least help we can offer others, overlooking it for more visible forms of help. Do we wonder why God allows Christians today to go through these deep valleys of suffering and despair? Perhaps He's helping us understand that He is our help. He is our fortress and our rock. Unfortunately, too often, we have to exhaust all other avenues of help before we come to that realization in life. The writer of Psalms 31 has certainly reached that point. There was no doubt in his mind that he was, when he declared in verses 4 and 5, where he says, "Take me out of the net they have hidden from me, for you are my refuge. Into your hand do I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God," or God of truth. He was ready to commit himself to the Lord, even to the point of death. Are we? Doing so requires us to reach beyond the confines of this world and see the bigger picture of what's going on. This world, when we think of it, is such an insignificant speck in the perspective of our eternity. Ask yourself today, where is your help? Who is your rock? And can we say with the psalmist here, "In thee, Lord, do I put my trust"? Like many of the songs that we sing over and over, we know that Jesus is our help. We know that He is our hope, and He is deserving of our praise. There's so many songs that we sing with these thoughts in mind. Psalms 33 and verse 8 reads, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him, for He spoke and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. I would like to turn our attention now to another great example of this faith and trust in God. I spent most of my time when I was putting this sermon together a while back to figure out who that best individual would be to consider as an example. You know, we think about the common guys. We think of Noah. We think of Moses, Ruth, Peter, Paul. You know, we even think of sometimes the faith of the woman who touched the garment of Jesus. But then I thought, Abraham. Abraham shows his faith, shows his faith in God. And he would be an excellent example for this. All those other individuals that we mentioned, we could definitely bring them into this context. But the life of Abraham and the trust he put in God while going through different situations throughout his life stood out to me the most. When we look at the New Testament, we see where both Paul and James used Abraham as their example. They used Abraham as the example of faith and the faith we need to have today. They both used scriptures to remind the individuals that were around them at the time of the statement back in Genesis 15 and verse 6 that says, "And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness." So, what was it about Abraham's faith that was so pleasing to God? And more importantly, do you and I have that same kind of faith today? I'd like to take a moment and look in the New Testament at Hebrews, the passage in Hebrews chapter 11. A very familiar passage to us. We see many examples of faith in this passage, but Hebrews 11, I'd like to read a few verses starting in verse 8. We'll read 8 through 10, then we'll skip down to verse 17. Hebrews 11, verse 8 says, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called out to go out to a place that he was to receive an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundation, whose designer and builder is God." Now let's skip down in verse 17. "By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promise was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, 'Through Isaac shall your offspring be named.' He considered that God was even able to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back." In this reading alone, and we could go to the Old Testament and read more about Abraham, but in this reading alone, we see the depth of Abraham's faith. And again, I ask, what was it about Abraham's faith that was so pleasing to God? So for the rest of this lesson, we're going to look at the faith of Abraham. And I first want to consider that Abraham's faith was an obedient faith. In Hebrews 11, verse 8 that we just read, we see that he left his own country not knowing where he was going. That is impressive to me. We live in a world where we plan out every second of every day, every step of every day. We have to plan out our lives. And when the plan doesn't go the way we thought, when it gets interrupted and gets sidetracked, we turn upside down, don't we? We lose all track of what's going on in life because of that one hiccup in life. Think about this for a minute. I'll use me as an example. When I think of myself at the age I am, I'm a man of responsibility, aren't I? Or I should be, maybe I should say. But I am a father of three children. I'm the husband of one wife. Got to add the two dogs in there, too. I'm the primary income to the family, providing them with a house to keep them safe, food to keep them nourished, and vehicles to get them where they need to go. And I feel that I have a huge responsibility riding on my shoulders, as just many as you do. So the very thought of losing my job or making a life-altering decision to go work for another company, that's pretty scary to me. And it is very unnerving to all of us. But I think to myself, when I'm thinking about this sermon, would I have the faith to uproot my family and all that I have if God had said, Jason, you need to go. He is not telling me where I need to go. He's not telling me that all things are going to turn out just the same as they are. But he's telling me, go. Remember, again, we are that generation where we have to know the plan. We have to have everything in line. But Abraham didn't even know where he was headed or what God had in store for him, and what did he do? We read that he obeyed. He had faith in God that his needs for himself and for his family would be taken care of. He did, or why did he have this faith? And I feel the answer is in verse 10 of Hebrews 11 that we've already read. Because it says, he was looking forward to the city that has foundation, that heavenly city whose designer and builder is God. So moving on in Hebrews, we see that not only did he have that obedient faith, but he had the faith in God that was a trusting faith. What we read later in Hebrews 11, the sacrifice of Isaac. And that had to have been the most agonizing test for Abraham alone. A trial when he passed completely because of his total trusting faith in God. God told Abraham, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering. And on one of the mountains I will tell you about. That's in Genesis 22 and verse 2. So Abraham took Isaac, two servants, and a donkey, and set off on a 50-mile journey. And when they arrived, Abraham ordered the servants to wait with the donkey while he and Isaac went up the mountain. He told the men in Genesis 22, in the last part of verse 5, we will worship, and then we will come back to you. Think about that. Think about that trusting faith in God that Abraham says that he and Isaac will be back. Isaac asked his father where the lamb was for the sacrifice. And Abraham answered that the Lord will provide the lamb. So saddened and confused, Abraham bound Isaac with ropes and placed him on the stone altar. And just as Abraham raised the knife to slay his son, the angel of the Lord called out to Abraham to stop, not to harm the boy. The angel said he knew that Abraham feared the Lord because he had not withheld his only son, the son of promise. When Abraham looked up, he saw a ram caught in the thicket by its horns, and he sacrificed the animal provided by God instead of his own son. And now he is offering up his son Isaac. God had promised so many things through his son, and now he is asking Abraham to kill Isaac as a sacrifice. So this didn't make much sense. Didn't make much sense, just as we would have had the same confusion if we were Abraham. But again, Abraham had that trusting faith in God that he would provide. Hebrews 11, verse 19 says that Abraham considered that God was able to even raise him back from the dead. So why not trust him? And I feel that that's the reason why Abraham was going to go through with this sacrifice, because God, he would raise him. This is the Almighty. This is the all-powerful God. He will provide. There are many things that happen to us in life that doesn't make sense to us. There are many times that down the road where these things may come clear. You know, there's something that didn't happen for us now, but then 5, 6, 7 years down the road, we're like, that's why that didn't work out for us. There are many times in life that something happens and we never know why they happened. But we need to learn from Abraham to have this same trusting faith in God, no matter what life throws at us or what God asks us to do. And lastly, I want us to consider Abraham had a faith that was growing. When we look further into the full life of Abraham, which we've been doing so far in our Wednesday night class, Bible class. But we see that Abraham's faith grew. There were times in his life when he was weak. He was just like any of us here. We see examples of where he had Sarah, his wife, tell a half-truth to save their lives. He questioned God when he and Sarah did not have children. He showed weak faith in the case of Hagar. He even offered an alternative to God when he thought it would be impossible for him and Sarah to have children. But God was patient with Abraham. And we can see through his life, his faith grew. I'd like for you to turn to Romans, the 4th chapter. Romans 4, we're going to read starting in verse 13 through the 22nd verse. Romans 4, 13 says, "For the promise to Abraham and his offspring was that he would be heir of the world, did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs. Faith is null and the promise is void, for the law brings wrath. But where there is no law, there is no transgression. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. And it is written, 'I have made you the father of many nations.' In the presence of God, in whom he believed, who gave life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. In hope he believed against hope, that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told. So shall your offsprings be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of his Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith, and as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he promised. This is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness." The faith of Abraham, we can see through his life. We can do a lot more study on him, but we can see that he did not have a static faith or a lacking faith. But he had an ever-growing faith that came through being a friend of God. We need to continue to grow in our faith. We must grow in our faith just as we see the apostles of Christ did. You know, we see the example of the men that had little faith and easily afraid in Matthew 8 when they were on a ship through a great storm and Jesus is sleeping on a ship during that storm. And the men marveled, saying, "Jesus, do you not care that we perish?" And then later on, say, when Jesus calmed the storms, they said, "Who is this man that even the waves and the winds obey his voice?" We see just as the apostles of Christ did to men of great boldness in Acts 4 and verse 13, where they saw that Peter and John spoke with such boldness, and the people perceived that these men had been with Jesus. We also see the Thessalonians in 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3, where their faith was growing exceedingly and abundantly. Our faith needs to grow the same today. Our faith will grow if we are willing to walk in the steps of the faith which our father Abraham did. This afternoon, we need to all consider the greatness of God and all that has been freely given to us. Do we have that obedient faith, that trusting faith in God? Are we ever growing abundantly every day in our faith? Are we walking in the steps of the faith of Abraham, obeying the word of God given through the gospel of Christ, even as he obeyed the words given to him? We need to learn from the life of Abraham of what our faith in God should be today. What simply has been asked of us in return is for each and every one of us to be obedient to his commands. That obedience for those who have not yet been Christian requires us to turn away from the life of sin that separates us from God, to confess our belief in Him and His Son, and be buried in water for the remission of sins. It's that simple. If you have been baptized and you have sin in your life, the obedience He requires is just as simple. He asks that we put our full trust in Him to guide us, to confess our sins to one another and gain the hope of heaven once again before it is everlasting too late. I ask you this afternoon, will you make those steps in making your life right with God so you can have that comfort, you can have that hope in heaven as together we stand and sing.